This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
You bet. It is Saturday afternoon, Sports Map Radio Network, and it is time for the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker Campbell. It's an exciting weekend. Week 4 in the NFL season. We're going to break it down and get you ready. Brady Tinker will be coming up in Hour 1 to talk some Cowboys. But right now, my producer, Sean A. Mapes, give him a follow on Twitter. We're going to preview the Bills at the Ravens. It's a big game, two dynamic offenses. What are you looking forward to the most with this particular matchup?
I mean, it is that. It's the top two offenses in the NFL. You got Allen and Lamar Jackson, probably two of the top, I don't know, four or five in the MVP discussion already in the season. And both teams are 2-1. Obviously, coming off the loss is the Buffalo Bills after everyone's already handing them the Lombardi Trophy. Now, they're got to go on the road to play Baltimore. Tough game. And they're looking down the barrel being 2-2 after four games when, you know, before the Miami loss, I know there's discussions like, could they possibly go undefeated, which is always a ridiculous conversation. But people were having it, and now, you know, depending on how this goes against the Ravens, they could be even at 2-2 and behind the Dolphins, given that they already lost a head-to-head against the Dolphins. So it's definitely going to be an interesting game. Also, Lamar Jackson being able to keep up this pace he's at, not just throwing the ball but running as well. Lamar is always fun to watch, and now they're going up against a great defense.
You know, you mentioned Lamar Jackson, talking about the Baltimore's quarterback. Yeah. Would he be in the conversation as one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL right now?
I mean, if you just base off his body of work this year, he is having the epitome of what makes Lamar great as a dual threat. That is the season he's put together so far. So if you ask me just if I were to just draft quarterbacks, who I'd draft, probably Lamar's not in the top three. It's probably going to be Mahomes, Allen, and then, you know, Brady, Rodgers, Burrow. And then you get right to Lamar Jackson after that. But as far as what he's put on tape so far in 2022, Lamar Jackson is one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Bills Ravens, it's going to be a shootout, two dynamic offenses, as Sean was talking about. It's two of the best offenses in the NFL. We're going to take a hard pivot. We're going to talk about the Cowboys and what expectations are as they are set to host the Commanders on Sunday. Come on back to Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show.
Listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
Elissa Walker Campbell, welcome in on this Saturday afternoon, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Elissa Walker Campbell, and you bet it is week 5 of the college football season. Can you believe it? We're going to preview some of the biggest games here in Hour 1 that are going to take place and some of the premier matchups. It's been certainly fascinating to watch. Last week, 9 of the top 15 teams in week 4 played to one possession games. It was one of the best, in my estimation. One of the best weekends of college football. And it's going to be exciting today to see how some of these games, how they play out. We're thrilled to have back with us from the Washington Post to get his early season takeaways and to hand out some grades from some of the teams that have impressed him the most from the Washington Post. That is Chuck Culpepper. How are you, my friend?
Hi, it's good to talk to you again. Thank you.
Well, it is hard to believe we are now in the month of October, and before we look ahead to some of the action that's going to take place today and this afternoon, what are some of your biggest season takeaways from the first month of college football? What did we learn, Chuck?
Well, and it's like you say, Elissa, before we look ahead, because we could look back on this September for a good long time, because it was a doozy.
Yeah.
It was just full of, you know, delights and surprises, and I don't even know, you know, where to start. Middle Tennessee, those young players got the memory of a lifetime, probably, or one of their memories of a lifetime. went to Miami and just clobbered the Hurricanes. Marshall went to Notre Dame and won, and then maybe the most enchanting one of all, Appalachian State, went to Texas A&M.
College Station.
And then, the most enchanting, Kansas, you know. And so I think maybe one thing it has taught us so far is that this idea of the transfer portal, and you know, you don't know where players, I think even those of us who follow the game, you know, closely, a player will turn up and go, wait, he went there? It's sort of gotten like that, you know, with the mass transferring. And I think, has that had a destabilizing effect that has caused more upset? So could be a real positive? I guess it has. I would have to say so far that it must have an influence on, you know, why why the cohesion doesn't seem to be there in some cases, and why every week now you just see a score even more than normal life in college football through the decades. You just see a score crop up and you're like, whoa, I didn't foresee that one, that's for sure. And it's great fun.
Well, the Appalachian State upset in College Station was huge, and that was stunning, to say the least. Hey, if you're just joining us this morning, or this afternoon, I should say, from the Washington Post, Chuck Culpepper is with us. He's got some great stuff posted online. Be sure and check that out. I think one of the surprise teams that we definitely have to mention is right here in the Big 12 Conference. I mean, what about the Kansas Jayhawks? They have certainly made a strong statement here in the first month.
Yeah, and if you look at from the season 2010 until last season, they never won more than three in a year, often two or one. And they, you know, they were just really, really down. I mean, down is not down.
Cellar dwellers, yeah.
Just way down. So I think if we looked at that during those years and said, okay, one year they're going to start 4-0, and if you knew that, you would probably think, okay, That's plausible, I guess, because they'll do some soft scheduling early on. But that's not how it's unfolded. They've won at West Virginia and at Houston, home to Duke, which was pretty good, you know, and was unbeaten at the time. So it's really, really something. It's the kind of thing that makes me think, oh, I kind of wish I'd go live in Lawrence for the rest of the season, you know? And there's nothing like that fresh, unexpected success, you know, and I think the energy around there right now must have sort of a different tenor to it in the way that we know sports can do that other things cannot quite do.
Well, Chuck, it's so interesting because Kansas is 4-0 for the first time in 13 years. And let's dissect that. Let's break that down. What has changed? Because like we've talked about, I mean, they have struggled mightily over the past decade.
Yeah, and it seems to be, if I can look from afar and say, it's an offense that is kind of dazzling, which is something to say. You know, you read, I read the reporters who are at the games, and they're, you know, their offense is very dynamic and very unpredictable, and you go, what? You know, who are we talking about? And then, you know, and it seems like nobody knows yet what to do with that offense, and there's always the game going on in the film room of sorting it out and figuring it out. And then at the wheel of that offense for sure, as if they weren't fresh and delightful enough as a story, they have this absolutely delightful quarterback who every time they bring him to an interview, I'm view room and
Jalen
Daniels.
Video, yeah.
I'm like, really? He's just got this way about him, this personality about him that's just completely, you know, just enchanting. And so he's from California and came all the way to Kansas and had some good games last year in the latter part of the season, and now this has just all come together. And so, you know, I look a lot at him because we always look at the quarterback, because the quarterback has become even more important than it was all our lives, you know, throughout the last decade. So I really think that you have this idea of a player there who's just so compelling in the middle of it all.
It is week five of the college football season. There's a lot of big games on hand today. Alabama against Arkansas. Oklahoma is in Fort Worth. Will the Sooners bounce back? That's one of the biggest questions. LSU at Auburn. Texas A&M, we just alluded to them. They are at Mississippi State. But right now we are zeroing in on the Kansas Jayhawks and our very special guest from the Washington Post. He is back. We love him. That is Chuck Culpepper. And you were just talking about Kansas's quarterback and Jalen Daniels, just the charisma. There's a lot to love about this guy. He has led the Jayhawks to four wins over, some would say, weaker teams. But I think one of the biggest question marks is today, How are they going to, how will they survive? They're hosting 3-1, the Iowa State Cyclones, and that is never easy.
Suddenly a really interesting matchup that I think a month ago I wouldn't have sat there and said, oh, hey, I'm going to pay attention to that one, you know. And then we look on the other side. You know, out of all the coaches in the country, it's not too often that I sit in their offices with them, but I did with Matt Campbell of Iowa State a couple summers ago, and I was just, it was like 30 minutes with him could completely explain why they had a renaissance there over recent years and won a Fiesta Bowl and so on. And I just, you know, that he has lifted that place, which was always waiting to be lifted, always had that enthusiasm about it. So you have these two teams that, from an objective point of view, I really don't like it when either one loses. And, you know, Kansas now would be great as a story to keep alive. And Iowa State has just been a very nice story for a couple years now. So I think it's that kind of matchup. I think, you know, you'd certainly favor Iowa State, but are you doing that in your head because you've still got some lingering Kansas residue of not expecting it to be that great? Or, you know, Iowa State won at Iowa, which was a big deal for them.
Yes.
And, you know, you've got to think they've got a culture in place that's more entrenched than that of Kansas. So I do, I mean, I guess I never bet, thank goodness, but I guess if I did, I would bet on them. But, yeah, it's just really, it's nice versus nice.
Absolutely. So let's talk some more. You were talking about the Iowa State head coach and what a remarkable job that he has done in his time there at Kansas. Lance Leipold, can they hang on to him? Because he is certainly impressed with this incredible turnaround in year two. I mean, his stock continues to rise. You have to wonder and think, I mean, is Nebraska going to come after him?
Yeah, I mean, and anymore, if somebody like wins one big game or something, suddenly it's, they're on every list for when a place needs a coach, you know. And he really appeared on those lists faster than maybe I would have put him on. He did a great job at the back half of last year. They won at Texas 57-56 in overtime, a game that I wandered into in the third quarter and will never forget. I had been at Baylor that day. But it's fast to go ahead and say, okay, he did well with them last year. They clearly got better. He's clearly a coach who is not timid on the sideline. He takes chances. And you say that, and then you say, okay, they're 4-0 this year. Do you go ahead and put him on a list? I kind of wouldn't yet, but people do. And then you have to factor in that in Division III at Wisconsin-Whitewater, I think it was across 8 seasons, he won 6 of the Division III national titles. And, you know, obviously, I think coaches, there's different coaching skills at all the levels. Like, some coaches who would be good at one level, not so good at the other, but he's proven to be good at all of them.
Our Week 5 college football conversation continues with Chuck Culpepper from the Washington Post after this quick break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 1, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. You are listening to the fastest 2 hours in radio, getting you ready for all the action today in college football. We're going to continue our conversation with Chuck Culpepper from the Washington Post. You know, when we think about Nebraska, I had mentioned just a moment ago, you know, why did things not work out for Scott Frost? I would have thought that he would have been the perfect fit.
You know, I went there that early September of 2018. I went there to kind of measure the excitement. The governor had a Scott Frost day.
Yeah, it was a big deal. It was a big deal.
I don't think people got off of work that day, but but I think if they did, nobody would have said, "Oh, that's bananas." You know, everybody would have said, "Oh yeah, that makes sense," because this thing just could not miss, right? Like you're saying, it just was the job he'd done at UCF, 12-0 that year. I guess if I had to say why it didn't work, it's possible that he didn't realize what, having played there in the 90s, having grown up there in Wood River, having had you know, Bill Walsh come to recruit him when Walsh was coaching Stanford. I think he probably may not have realized that it's a whole different landscape now. And, you know, all of us in life are constantly battling with how to adapt to change. And people like Nick Saban, who have demonstrated a clear capacity to adapt to change, thrive, and maybe he didn't adapt to change. That's a guess from afar, but, you know, it's Nebraska is not the recruiting terrain that it was in the heyday that he remembers it.
We are so glad you're with us on this Saturday morning. We're in Hour 1 at SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. If you're just joining us, we would love to hear from you. You can many different ways and platforms. We're always live on social media at E-Radio Sports. And you bet he is back helping us break down the Week 5 of the college football season from the Washington Post. That is Chuck Culpepper. Yes, the first month of action has been very exciting, but right now we're kind of zeroing in on some of the movement, the coaching carousel that has been taking place. Scott Frost is departed. He's gone from Nebraska. But what about, I tell you, Arizona State, I was stunned to see things not work out for Herm Edwards. I'm a big Herm Edwards fan.
Yeah, I think most everybody loves this guy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Should. I think he stands for a lot that's right, you know, and he's that guy who has that feeling that you think, okay, I understand. I get motivated when I'm around him, you know, that kind of charismatic figure. And so, but again, I just think there's all different skills in coaching, and maybe some guy can coach a team that's really in a sad point and revive it. And then one guy can take, you know, maybe a college team that's a kingdom and keep it a kingdom. And I think they're all different. And I think the idea of a coach who'd been in the NFL, coached in the NFL, and then going into the college level, I just think that's a different thing. So there's a different set of skills involved that is maybe a little harder place to recruit than it was or should be. Or maybe it just is a hard place to recruit. I don't know. But it's just I'm not completely stunned that one didn't work out. It was an unconventional hire. Those can work. They enthrall us. But that one is just an example of, you know, when you go into a college job, that's a whole different deal.
What other programs come to your mind that it may be time for a change? You know, I was talking about the upset with Appalachian State and Texas A&M. Jimbo Fisher, let's throw his name out there. Is he on the hot seat? I mean, what do you see an assessment of his work and body work that he's done so far?
I don't think he's in the hot seat as we're speaking right now, but I think he could be in a few minutes. A few weeks. I think they paid, as my dear old late friend used to say, a bloody fortune for him. And I think if this year, okay, so he's had only one season with fewer than four losses. So I think if this season becomes another four-loss season, as I would suspect it will, I think that you'll hear it get kind of loud around him. I think one thing he's really good at is he manages to embody sometimes the grievance that Texas A&M has in a state where Texas sneers at it and so on, you know, historically. And there's always been that rivalry, and it's about to cook up again in a few years here, but when Texas joins the SEC. But I think when there's been a complaint that Texas A&M has, such as not getting in the playoff, or Nick Saban sneering at their recruiting class, I think he's really good at kind of, I think the fans feel kindred with him when he kind of takes their case and makes it passionately. So I think that helps him some. I think they like him. But I think if it's another four-loss season, then we're going to hear it all the time.
Washington Post, Chuck Culpepper with us, breaking down Week 5 of the college football season, also talking a little bit about the coaching carousel, some of the movement that has already taken place. Hey, we've got to shine the spotlight. Let's talk about the Georgia Bulldogs, the number one team in the country. Have they proven to you that they are the best and they can repeat?
Yes, yes, and yes. And they have been playing. I didn't watch the Kent State game where they gave up 22 points. even though I know their coach, that'll secretly thrill him because he can get their attention. But I thought they were playing some of the most beautiful football that I've ever seen played at the college level. You know, other teams have in recent years, too. That doesn't mean that they're really, really exceptional that way. But I just think with the offense, with Stetson Bennett, the quarterback, having had more time and certainly the capacity to get better, and this tight end, Brock Bowers, who's just an incredible player.
Yeah.
And then the defense, Ringo, who had the big interception return against Alabama to clinch the game in the national title game and is just such a marvel out there. Yeah, I think it's some of the most picturesque, which hasn't always been the word to use for them under Kirby Smart, but some of the most picturesque and pleasing to the eye football on offense and on defense while you're looking for those two entities to do different things. So, you know, one of them should be uglier than the other by definition. But a really pretty offense, and I just think, you know, I'm fully expecting them to turn up in Los Angeles in January. That's the title game, and that's probably not fair. It's a long way to go. But I just think there's a culture that's been built there, and it's very lofty.
You know, you speak about the culture when we talk about the Georgia Bulldogs. What's so interesting is that think about just the roster turnover. 15 of Georgia's players were taken in the 2022 NFL draft. 9 were selected in the first 3 rounds. So what does that tell me, Chuck? There's no regression. There's no slowdown. They continue to pound it. They continue to bring it, take care of business. And that obviously is going to be key for them to repeat. I mean, we obviously have seen the sustained success with Alabama, but Georgia, they're not backing down one bit. They want this natty.
Yeah, and that's exactly right when you say 5 defensive players out of the 11 starters taken in the first round.
Yeah.
You know, and here they are again looking like this. And I just think, yes, that shows you that the people who were behind them last year and the recent years learned from them, learned how it's done, learned how serious to be, learned how seriously to take their jobs, which is one thing their players were talking about a few weeks ago when I saw them beat South Carolina 48-7 on the road.
Yeah.
It's a culture, and it's dug in its roots, and it's, you know, like Kirby Smart was saying, the championship's over. It was last January. It can't help you anymore, except in the area that what you did to get it was learned by those who were around it.
Okay, Chuck, listen, well, we've got you on this Saturday afternoon. It is countdown to kickoff. Give us a bold prediction because the Georgia Bulldogs face Missouri today. How's this game going to play out? Is it going to be a demolition?
I'm sorry, which game did you say?
We're talking about Georgia will face the Missouri Tigers today.
Oh, yes, that's a demolition, yes. And I think it's I consider it more of a demolition because they gave up 22 points to Kent State last week, and they won't like that.
Okay, my final question for you is we've got a big matchup, 2:30 kickoff. Alabama, the Crimson Tide, they are undefeated, 4-0. They will face Arkansas, the Razorbacks, that are 3-1 on this season. How do you see this playing out?
That's a fun game. Arkansas under Sam Pittman is somebody to watch all the time, I think. He's such a delight himself that it makes it, you know, he draws the eyes to them from afar. And I think that I, of course, expect Alabama to win because that's the way life goes over the last 15 years. But, and the way Alabama has played this year, even though they struggled at Texas, has been very compelling. So I would see them winning, say, by 10.
It's going to be competitive. It's going to be compelling to watch. And there's a number of fascinating games that we definitely have our eye on. Of course, Texas A&M on the road at Mississippi State and LSU at Auburn. Always a true pleasure when he drops by from the Washington Post. We did back-to-back segments because he is so good. And that is Chuck Culpepper. Give him a follow on Twitter. Great stuff on there at the Washington Post. Thank you so much, Chuck.
Thank you so much, Alyssa. It's great to be with you.
It's wonderful to have you, and we look forward to another conversation here real soon. Hey, we're going to pivot. We're going to talk some NFL news and notes. The Dallas Cowboys from ESPN Radio out of Dallas. Brady Tinker is coming up next.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, welcome back on this Saturday Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway with our next interview, always love to connect with our audience live on Twitter, at eRadio Sports. You can go back if you missed any of our interviews, podcastarena.com, and you can download our app, take us anywhere, anytime, and mark it down. That's right. We've got a brand new time slot, 1 to 3 Eastern time. And it is week 4 of the NFL season. And how about those Dallas Cowboys? They are riding a 2-game win streak and finished the month of September with a winning record. I mean, who knew? So tomorrow they will face the and host the Washington Commanders. And we're so delighted to have back with us from Dallas from ESPN Radio. And that is Brady Tinker, who covers the Cowboys closely. How are you, my friend?
Good. Working really hard now with DSP Media. These guys are doing over 30 podcasts, so we have everything covered really in the Southwest, certainly Cowboys and all UT and everything else. I'm very excited to be with these guys as well, and then still doing a Cowboy life, and then we are going to restart off of the helmets. So lots going on.
Well, it's your first time on our show since our summer break, and we want you to summarize just how the season has played out so far for the Cowboys. What are just those early season takeaways?
Well, actually quite amazing. In the 18 years, let's say the last 18 to 20 years of this organization's history, when they've had a hurt quarterback or hurt key players, they fold almost every single year. So I expected that after week one. And I sort of thought, you know what? There's four quarterbacks in this draft. A full tank might not be that bad an idea. That's not what Jerry wants, and that's not what any of the players want. And probably a really good defense dictates that you don't do that. But those thoughts crossed my mind. Because I'm not certain that Dak Prescott is healthy. I'm not talking about the thumb. If you watched week one and the interception he threw that came up 15 yards short where he couldn't step into a throw with his ass, legs, and lower body, you knew he still hurt. And we had heard earlier reports of a shoe problem, which caused a foot problem. I immediately began to think about last year's calf problem. And what he told us in the media one day very quietly, and it didn't get a lot of publicity last year, was he believed the calf injury from last year that really limited him in the second half of the season was certainly tied to the catastrophic leg injury. And so I didn't think as much about this season being a good one because I was worried about him. And that didn't help his first half of that game prior to him getting hurt. So I'm impressed for multiple reasons. And if anybody wants an answer for why this is working, Cooper Rush, Noah Brown, and Kellen Moore all became Cowboys within a week of each other in 2017. Kellen Moore obviously was a backup quarterback. Cooper Rush was also a third-string quarterback, and Noah Brown was a kid from Ohio State who'd never really made good, who kept hanging on the practice squad. And those three gentlemen spent a ton of time together in the last 5.5 years. They just have. And so Cooper Rush fully understands Kellen Moore's offense, fully, to the T, because he's smart. He sits in those rooms and he listens, and Noah Brown sits there with him and they sit together. So this is not inexplicable. What we didn't know was the talent level among those two players high enough to win games at the NFL level or to have a major impact. The answer seems to be yes, and the truth is Dan Quinn is going to be out of here after this year because his defense is fantastic and diverse, and I only wish Randy Gregory was still here so it could have even more depth.
So Cooper Rush, he has certainly been outstanding. Dallas now 2-1. Do you think the Cowboys are actually better off with Cooper Rush at quarterback over Dak Prescott?
Well, certainly not if Dak Prescott's healthy, but someone somewhere knows something. So if Dak Prescott needs 3 more weeks off than he does, and the Cowboys can handle 2 of those games, and there's a really hard game in there somewhere that I'd rather skip for him and have him come back against an NFC East opponent or against a weaker opponent to get his legs back underneath him. So my absolute guess, and I'm not a doctor nor anything close to that, would be give him three more games and let that thumb properly heal and whatever is below the waist that is hurting him, and let's hope that he can get to somewhere close physically to 100%. So no, there are people out there saying, Cooper Rush is more accurate. It's not true. There's nothing statistically that says he's a more accurate passer. What people are seeing that they like, that they haven't seen out of Dak really since the second half of last year, is on-time throws. 1, 2, 3, hit your foot, it's out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hit your foot, it's out. He knows the offense. He believes it. He's got no panic in him when it comes to reading defenses. Dak has had some panic in him, and I think everybody can see it. 1, he doesn't want to run. And two, as the pocket collapses, you can see some panic. And the panic isn't because he's not a man. He's a hell of a man. It is because he's hurt. And there is something that is bothering him. And he needs to get better, especially considering what they owe him. I mean, this can't be the end of Dak Prescott's career.
Right.
It can't. So however many days or weeks it takes him to get better, it does. And you rely on the running game and the defense.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us on this Saturday afternoon. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. He's back with us. Brady Tinker giving us the latest on the Dallas Cowboys. We want to pause. Brady, you've got lots of new things going on. Reach out, connect with our audience. Where can they find you online?
Well, DSP Media Online is where I'm doing so many of my podcasts with these guys. And they're most of them are on video as well on YouTube. So if you find us at DSP Media Online, you'll find all of our work. I'm doing a new fantasy show with a great talent, Jeff Bidoff out of Ohio. So we've got the country covered. We're doing the Drunk Sports Podcast, which is a hilarious show. It is the most fun I've ever had.
I have not heard it. Okay, I will definitely listen. Okay.
These guys are hilarious.
Okay.
I'm just sort of in the middle of it, and I'm able to just pick little spots here and there to try and chime in because these guys are phenomenal. Tim IndyCarham and Colby Sapp are amazing. And then we're working on some gambling shows. We're doing a From the Rough Golf show that also involves a little wagering. And John Gerber played on the tour and is a tour player and absolutely has – you know, insight into who's going to win and who's going to be in the top 10. And he just helps everybody make money week after week. So it's an exciting group. There are going to be over 30 podcasts at DSB Media Online within probably before the end of the year.
Okay. The Cowboys host the Commanders tomorrow at home. Can they keep winning with Cooper Rush?
Yeah, sure. The Washington has a terrible defense and Carson Wentz leads everything they do on offense, which means they'll have some good things and they'll have some crappy things. And the Cowboys will capitalize. They are a group that gets sacks. They lead the NFL in sacks. They have not had as many turnovers as they got last year, but then they led the league, and there was going to be some regression in turnovers because there's some luck to turnovers as well. But absolutely. Cowboys minus three, to be honest with you, if you're a betting man or woman, seems like one of the easier lines of the week. The over and under is a little bit more difficult because Washington literally may not score any points. So 41.5 is sort of teetering for me, but I absolutely love the Cowboys' chances of getting to 3-1. I can't believe those words are coming out of my mouth, but I'm thrilled that they are.
Okay, Cooper Rush, he is a 5-year pro. Does he have the makeup of a top-tier quarterback? Potentially, what does this cat have?
No, I think he has the makeup of a top-tier backup. So I think that these two games and the fact that he's 3-0 in his career as a starter, and if he wins, by the way, on Sunday, he will be the first quarterback in Cowboys history to have won his first 4 starts.
Wow.
And you can you imagine that with the quarterbacks that have been here?
That's right.
It will be Cooper Rush. But no, he can drive a bus. He can understand an offense and a defense. And he seems to have the cool and the moxie to stand in the pocket, sort of old school, and do what he needs to do. So that has made him a lot of money because he's going to get signed somewhere next year in that $4-6 million a year range as one of those guys of, okay, we're a really good team. And if Mahomes goes down in Kansas City, this is a damn good backup or something along those lines. I can't believe I just said that because I'm from Kansas City and I believe in jinxes. But no, Cooper Rush, listen, they're even surprised because they put him on waivers twice in the last 2 months. Any team in the NFL could have had him and nobody picked him up. So this is a bit of a revelation. And I think the only people that aren't surprised are Cooper Rush and Kellen Moore and maybe Jason Garrett, to be honest with you, who always believed in him.
Okay, so when Dak went out, I have to wonder, you know, of course, it's the next man up mentality, but what were your personal convictions and expectations when he filled in for Dak? I mean, has he exceeded him?
Yeah, absolutely. I just, you know, he doesn't have Michael Gallup. He doesn't have Amari Cooper. CeeDee Lamb is underachieving. I'll give him credit for a really good catch and a nice, you know, I mean, he helped them win last week. But CeeDee Lamb still looks to me like a guy who's running iffy routes. And who absolutely doesn't want to wear 88, which he said he didn't when he came into the league. And I think he was just being honest. So I don't think CeeDee Lamb's a solid number one. I think if he's your two or your three, then you're thrilled. But because of that, and then all of a sudden Dalton Schultz isn't there for him, who's a really good binky, what were they going to do? And the truth is Mike McCarthy has stepped up, and without any fanfare, because he's not telling us this, I promise you, he's really involved now in this offense. Mike McCarthy's job is on the line. Certainly Kellen Moore's job is on the line. And McCarthy went back to doing what he likes to do. They ran two tight ends last week, two of them you've never heard of. They wanted to balance this offense. They wanted to balance this play calling. This zone run scheme, for some reason, is working. Because to be honest with you, can any of you name anyone on the offensive line other than Zach Martin? No. And it didn't look great against Tampa. So the strides that they have made need to be really given. The kudos need to be given to this coaching staff. McCarthy, Quinn, and Kellen Moore are getting it done. And coaching matters. And we've seen that in Jacksonville, right? Look at the turnaround in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So coaching matters. And right now, this Cowboy team is being coached up and probably playing to their max. When you know, Kansas City rolls in, or the Broncos, or the Packers, or somebody rolls in, this is going to be tough, like it was with Tampa. But if they can hang on and Dak plays the last, let's just say the last seven, let's just be reasonable, plays the last seven or eight, they can get to 9 or 10, and that will probably get them a wild card spot, because Philadelphia is going to be tough to beat in the NFC East.
Okay, so the Cowboys, we've talked a lot about it and highlighted just offensively. They've shown positive growth, especially over the past two games. Break down defensively. What have they shown you so far, Brady?
Well, they have tremendous depth, and Dan Quinn has sort of reinvented himself. He took a lot of his defensive beliefs and then incorporated some others when he came here. And he was very involved in the drafts right away, and he was very involved in free agent signings right away. And he went out and asked for certain players. And what he really wanted was guys who could rush the passer on the front line, and a whole bunch of guys in the back end, linebackers, but not many, safeties and cornerbacks who could play multiple positions, who they could run to the line of scrimmage to support, or who they could back up and put in pass coverage. And what he sold all of these kids is, listen, there's 22 guys over here that are going to play a lot. Not 11, 22. And all of you then will have a big part of winning or losing on this team. You'll also get plays and reps and chances to get turnovers. You'll all get a chance to, quote, in parentheses, make money and be seen by other people as productive players, and they bought in, and it has worked. I'm not sure that Diggs is a great cover man, but he's putting him in position time after time to get interceptions, to make big-time plays. Micah Parsons is a game-changer.
Oh,
the comps are Lawrence Taylor, if you're old enough to remember that, and they're pretty good comps, and they are doing just the right thing with him. Everyone's like, oh, put him at defensive end. He's so good at rushing the passer. No, said Dan Quinn. You know why? Because he's 80 to 100 pounds lighter than offensive tackles who are going to block him. And if I do that every game, he plays 20 less plays. I don't want him on the field for 20 less plays, so I'm going to move him all over the place. I'm going to make the offense find him. And he's so fast, and actually not just athletic. The angles that he takes, the way that he gets to people, the bursts of speed that he shows. He is one of the 10 best players in the NFL right now. And all of those things are being taken advantage of by this defensive coordinator and a defense that is one tight unit. They are Steeler-like. They are Raven-like. And maybe even better than some of those groups.
It is week 4 of the NFL. Our NFL news and notes will continue with Brady Tinker after this quick break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 1, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to continue talking about the Dallas Cowboys as they get ready to host the Commanders tomorrow at AT&T Stadium. Our special guest is Brady Tinker. Cowboys taking on the Commanders tomorrow. Looking forward to this particular matchup. Certainly Washington, they've got to change some things up. Give us your assessment. What have you seen from afar as far as with Carson Wentz and how he's fitting in there?
Well, you know, he started out pretty good, and you know, there's some pretty good talent for him offensively on that team. I mean, Antonio Gibson's a decent back. J.D. McKissic catches the ball great out of the backfield, and they really had something going with Brian Robinson, the young man, until he got shot. And I understand that he's actually back working in practice, but Terry McLaurin's a good player. This Johan Dotson that they drafted in the first round is a good player, and they added Curtis Samuel, right, who, when he's at his best, can run the ball for 400 yards and catch the ball for 800 yards, and they're doing that. So, and Logan Thomas is a good tight end. So Wentz has weapons, and when he makes the right reads, you know, the offense is tough to cover. So it'll be a challenge for the Cowboys. They'll look forward to this challenge, but I think what they'll be able to count on is Carson will make mistakes. He will hold the ball, you know, too long, half a dozen times, and it'll lead to four or five more sacks for the Cowboys, and once or twice the ball is going to come out, and, you know, he just is kind of Carson Wentz. And the Cowboys can count on that. The really good will come out, and you'll see some great plays, and the really bad will come out, and that will be the undoing of this Washington team here at AT&T Stadium on Sunday.
Okay, we are wrapping up our time. Brady Tinker has been our very special guest, Sports Map Radio Network. One more time, Brady, reach out, connect with our audience. Where can they find all of your amazing stuff, your podcast for Cowboy fans, A Cowboy Life? Where do they need to go for that?
It's really cool stuff. DSP stands for Drunk Sports Podcast, mm-hmm. DSP Media Online at YouTube is really the best place right now. The website is being revamped, but DSP Media Online, and you'll see video and audio of all of the podcasts that we're doing that cover the Cowboys, that cover the all the teams in the Southwest. I mean, we've got all of this covered, and then we've got people in Tampa and Ohio. This group is getting bigger and bigger. A Cowboy Life is still there. The stories for Cowboys is at acowboylife.com. And I'm really posting and doing most of my Twitter stuff on at DFW Sportsbeat and DFWSportsbeat.com.
Okay, final question for you. Give us, when will Dak Prescott, when do you anticipate that he will return?
Yeah, let me look at the schedule real quick. I anticipate three more games missed. And I'm sorry that it's not right in front of me, but that's the way I looked at it. Give me 1 second and I'll get it for you.
Well, I was going to say, while you look that up, you know, it's just so important that Dak Prescott, he continues to be patient and allows his body to heal properly.
Yeah.
You don't want him to return before he's ready, because that could be another major setback.
I don't. And so Washington this week, you get to 3-1. You go to the Rams. I don't want him in that game. I do not want him playing in whatever it is, SoFi Stadium in L.A. against the Rams and the brutes that they have on that defensive side of football. I don't. Then at Philadelphia. At this point, while that feels like a big game, I'd say no thanks to that as well. And let's get him started in week number 7 at home against Detroit, and then the next week at home against Chicago, and then a bye week. And let's see where he's at. So I think October 23rd would be my preference.
Okay.
Then he'll have him play the 23rd and the 30th, and he gets a bye week after that.
Okay, my birthday weekend. I'd like that.
Yeah.
All righty, Cowboys Commanders. It is week 4 of the NFL season, 1 o'clock Eastern time kickoff. We always love connecting with Brady Tinker. Check him out online. Good stuff, Brady. Thank you so much for carving out time.